In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. You have to love the Episcopal liturgical church calendar. You have to watch closely, because Jesus grows up in the blink of an eye. I mean, Jesus was just an infant in a manger on December the 25th. Then yesterday, the Magi came to worship him at a stable in Bethlehem, marking Epiphany. And now here we are on January the 7th, and Jesus is all grown up. He's striding off into the wilds of the desert to find his cousin, John the Baptist. Today marks Jesus' first adult decision, his first adult appearance since we last saw him. And today he's presenting himself to John to receive the baptism of repentance. All four Gospels give an account of the baptism of Jesus, and three of them tell of the other events in the life of Christ preceding the story of his baptism. Matthew gives us the genealogy of Christ, followed by a birth narrative, the visit of the Magi, and the family fleeing to Egypt. Luke gives us, of course, the most beautiful birth narrative ever written, and John gives us a prologue that announces to the world exactly who Jesus is. But in Mark, the baptism of Christ is the very first story out of the box. Mark just gets straight to the point, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which starts with his baptism in the River Jordan by his cousin John. There Jesus is, just queued up like everybody else. Like everybody else, waiting his turn to be immersed into the life-changing waters of the Jordan. Imagine, if you can, that you're among the throngs of people lined up at the River Jordan waiting for the Baptist to baptize you, to cleanse you from your sins. And somewhere in the midst of that line stands Jesus. Now, since Mark's gospel doesn't give us an account of the birth narrative, the folks in line thought Jesus was just like them, someone who needed to be cleansed, redeemed from his sins through the waters of baptism. But, of course, that all immediately changed when the waters fell like dew from Jesus as he emerged from the Jordan. Everyone there heard the voice. The voice from heaven proclaiming, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." That's when the crowd realized that the guy who had stood in line with them really wasn't like them at all. One of the most frequent questions I have been asked over the years as a priest is this: if Jesus is the Son of God, the incarnate God, God made flesh, then why was he baptized? Jesus, whom the scriptures tell us was human in every way, yet without sin, had absolutely no need to be baptized. I mean, let's face it. He could have just as easily stood on the banks of the Jordan and managed crowd control for the Baptist. He could have blended into the back of the crowd, watching the others go one by one to receive their spiritual cleansing. Or he could have just strolled out to the River Jordan and told the Baptist to step aside. He could take care of it from here. But he didn't. Instead, he stood patiently in line with the rest of the people. People with whom he may not have normally kept company. And he waited his turn to get into the River Jordan to receive something he didn't really need in the first place. So why? Why was Jesus baptized? Well, the answer is really pretty simple. It was because Jesus loves us so deeply, he refuses to be separated from us. By the grace of God, Jesus isn't the least bit concerned about the company he keeps, but he is concerned about being in the river with us. He is concerned to be in the sorrow of our repentance of sin, in the celebration of new life that comes with our baptism, and in the knowledge that through those waters, we have entered a covenant with God that can never be dissolved. But of course, sometimes we need to be reminded of that covenant, don't we? We need to be reminded that we belong to Jesus, that our identity as Christians comes from Jesus, and that we are called to live a life that emulates Jesus. It is customary on this day that we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, that we renew our own baptismal vows, and we renew them so that we can remember the covenant we made with God. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? These are just two of the questions that we will answer together in a few minutes. Two of the five questions that form the heart of our faith and life in Christ. They should remind us yet again that when the water of baptism rolls from our head, we have acknowledged that we do believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That when the cross is made on our foreheads and we are marked as Christ's own forever, it means that for all eternity, we are enveloped in the unconditional love of this undivided Trinity. It should remind us that we've committed our lives through our actions and our deeds to proclaim the good news of Christ made known to us in the human flesh of Jesus. And that's a reminder that we should always have in the forefront of our mind. Because whether you were young or old, so young that maybe you couldn't remember your baptism at all, or you were old enough to have a crystal clear memory of it, this one simple fact will always remain the same. At some point in your life, you got into the river of life with Christ and were changed forever. Through the saving waters of baptism, we are forever in good company. Every one of us, for all eternity, wearing the cross of our baptism on our foreheads, a cross that reminds us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen.